This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The one Magnum P.I. Was it Tom Selleck?
Bro.
Yeah.
This cannot be true.
They said somebody came
super
drunk.
Was it Leonardo DiCaprio and all those cats were here?
I am absolutely stunned that I did not know this until now. Let me just go through this
list. These were part of the stories that I'm telling you these local television stations were doing.
This is amazing.
Coming.
This
was huge.
Bro, let me go through this list of celebrities who are confirmed, according to Wikipedia, in attendance for this fight. Are you ready?
Yeah, I hope Tom Selleck's on that.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel was there.
Tom Cruise.
What?
Britney Spears. Clint Eastwood. Ben Affleck. Hugh Hefner. Halle Berry. Richard Gere. The Rock. I'm getting chills,
The Rock was the one that made you.
Close to done. Vince McMahon, The Undertaker, LL Cool J, Wesley Snipes, our president, Donald Trump, was here for this. Kevin Bacon, Chris Webber, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Morgan Freeman, Alec Baldwin, and Evander Holyfield.
That might be it.
You left off. I think I didn't hear Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck not in there.
What?
I'm sorry, Jason.
It's a monster
that
list.
That sucks.
Though. Oh, I want to tell you it was a Tom Selleck story. I could be wrong.
This many celebrities were in Memphis this fight?
That's sick.
And we're not saying it's number one?
Right.
I told you, it's right there.
It was worldly.
That's what I told you. The whole world was watching. LL Cool J ain't coming in for Tiger in Memphis. You know what I'm saying?
Nuts, dude.
You probably won't get Morgan Freeman out there.
Who was not here for that fight? That is nuts.
That's when Halle Berry was on, was rolling, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. These were all, like, at that time, absolute major stars. Absolutely major stars, man. I mean, Michael Jordan was at the pyramid? What?
You need to thank Willie.
My goodness.
Thank King Willie.
Yeah, man. And obviously, I mean, Britney Spears?
I don't know if she came.
Bro, among the celebrities, I mean, this is confirmed.
They confirmed that they showed up?
Yes. Confirmed celebrities in attendance. And this is on the Wikipedia page. Hugh Hefner, Ben Affleck.
Folks point out Bear Bryant's last game was at the Liberty Bowl. I don't think LL Cool J was there for it, but it was probably big.
I mean,
I don't think they'll know
you're going to have to get some celebrities out for this one to Trump. What do they call it? The Rumble on the River?
The Rumble on the River. We had T-shirts. We all had T-shirts. It was huge.
Kevin Bacon, Denzel Washington.
That boy was in Quicksilver. Kevin Bacon.
I got to tell you, I am absolutely floored by this.
With Lawrence Fishburne.
Why was The Rock and Vince McMahon and, I mean, wrestling must have been in town that week or something, but my goodness, that is one hell of an ensemble cast there.
Maybe. Yeah, Tiger won't top that one. That's what you found out today.
It might be number
it's
two.
Number two.
It might have to take.
But if Tiger's playing, you'll get to some celebrities out here.
Yeah, but Morgan and LL.
Bro, no. Did you not just hear the list?
I heard the damn list. The list is good. We're not going to get those.
Halle Berry ain't coming out for Tiger in Memphis.
Especially
when wouldn't that be something, though?
It's so hot outside.
That would be nice.
It's going to be so hot outside. So, unfortunately, I think it's good. Even if Tiger wins, it has to take number two.
It's going
to
be two.
I think you might be right.
Because of just how massive this event was at the pyramid, man.
The build-up was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm never going to recover from this list of celebrities that were in attendance. That's wild. All right, when we come back, speaking of celebrities, one joined Twitter over the weekend and put some rumors to rest. We'll get to that in the rundown. Lots to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Landers Auto Sales. They get a large inventory, over 300 vehicles to choose from, like the 2018 Jeep Wrangler, which is exactly what I'm in right now. I love that vehicle. You'll love it, too. They got more of them out there on the lot. They got lots of goals at Landers, but their number one goal is simple, and that is to ensure their customers are totally satisfied. So get down there and let them show you how they make it happen. Go visit them Goodman Road in South Haven or on the web, LandersMemphis.com. Landers Auto Sales. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
Frontier Western Store's world-famous boot showroom is waiting for you. With aisles and aisles of boots in one easy spot, you will find your next favorite pair at Frontier. Everyone loves Ariat boots, and Frontier has over 1,000 pair in that brand alone. Come grab a pair of rugged work boots like the Work Hog, or discover an everyday classic in Ariat's Rambler. Tons of other brands as well, Rocky, Dan Post, Red Wing, Durango, Justin, Twisted X, and many more. Frontier constantly restocks and refreshes their lineup of boots, so you're certain to walk out of the store happy in your new comfortable footwear. They have a wide assortment of sizes available for men, women, and children. Work, dress, or play, Frontier's knowledgeable staff will cheerfully help you find the perfect fit. It's boots galore at Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road, Olive Branch, or on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated, you know it, since 1967.
Reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without EcoBill and auto pay offer in 6/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
It's finally here, the warm months, weekends filled with cookouts and pool parties. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you're going to be at lots of cookouts and pool parties, and by at them, I mean hosting them. And if you want to sip a drink while you're on the grill or just hanging out, you should grab a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium, 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains, 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. And as you surely know by now, it's so smooth, you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's an awesome vodka that's reasonably priced, which is among the reasons it's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. The newest is grapefruit, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry, and check this out. New Amsterdam now also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Looking for something, some of them want to use you.
We're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. People are now tweeting me that the rumor back in 2002 was that Will Smith was in Memphis and he rented a whole floor out at the Peabody for the Rumble on the
Lord River. Lord have mercy, we were Celebrity City.
Man, I can't believe you don't remember that. Were you there? What were you doing at the time in 2002?
I was still in school, believe it or not. Gotcha. I was the late student. Ended up full-time over at the CAA in the fall of 2003. So I was freelance, and then I was not assigned to the fight that night, John.
Dang.
I know. So I missed it.
the prices, according to Wikipedia, it didn't sell very well. It certainly did not sell out, but it didn't sell very well because the ticket prices were ridiculous.
Oh.
The ticket prices were like thousands of dollars.
Sell out.
It was 15.
Man, I would have told you.
What was the capacity for the pyramid? Do you know?
I'm sure for a boxing match, I'm sure it'd be around 18,000.
Yeah,
because you got the whole floor. I mean, the whole floor is full of seats. Mm. So yeah. I'd have to imagine.
Can it be number 17, one if 18? It didn't sell out?
21,000 according to this. According to Wikipedia, 21,000 for basketball. So and for other events, it was 20,000, 19,000, 19,300. It got to 15,000 and change.
Wait a minute. Rewind this. This is
the pyramid.
This is the pyramid.
Yeah,
okay. 21,000 was full?
According to for basketball.
Okay.
For basketball, that's
21. Wow.
Concerts were 21,000. Basketball was 20,142. Huh. And they obviously would make some changes to the seating and all.
Yeah,
that.
I remember so basketball being 20. I didn't just the general number that you put on it.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so Tiger winning WGC, he's going to have to settle for two.
Until we get the NBA All-Star Game, which someone submitted to us.
That will come as a result of more hotels, obviously, though.
Duncan Butler said if they got the All-Star, and I'm with him. If you ever get the All-Star Game, does it not shoot to the top?
Well, of course, but logistically.
Yes, absolutely. Goes
yeah, we know. Your chances are probably next to zero because the hotels are.
How many hotel rooms short are we? Not to bring you in a different direction.
It's actually a great question, and I don't know why we can't include Tunica in this.
Right? You got all these.
It's a long drive.
It's 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
It's 40. It's 40.
Not if you're rolling.
I ain't going to get pulled over.
Not? I mean, we don't include them at all in this, and I realize it needs to be on in your vicinity. So 30-minute drives are out the door, but why can't we include that?
New hotel going in by FedEx Forum, they're going to be building, you know.
Yeah,
bro, we're going to need more than that. Yeah. It seemed right. I mean, dude, if we could get a few more rooms, though, doesn't the NBA owe us one?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, every day around this time we do the rundown. Let's go.
Now it's the rundown presented by LA Fitness. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so it's Friday night. It's late, but I'm on Twitter because I can't sleep. And lo and behold, I see a tweet from who I had to do a double take. To be honest with you, it was retweeted into my feed, and I had to do a double take. And this was the video.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, @TheRealOJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
OJ Simpson is on Twitter, the real OJ32, and he says he's got a little getting even to do. I cannot think of a more 2019 thing that could have possibly happened this weekend than OJ Simpson joining Twitter and saying publicly that he has a little getting even to do.
Oh, my Lord.
And the fact that 652,000 people, not quite 652,000 people, because you got to figure some of those are probably like bot accounts, but a good number of people.
It's in like 2 or 3 days, that many followers.
Yes, yes.
He'll have 3 million in a couple of weeks.
He has three tweets. He has three tweets, and he has 652,000 followers. The fact, honestly, and I'll be honest with you, I am among them. I cannot turn away. The fact that in 2019, so many years right after the OJ case and all of that, that he still has this sort of, you know, ability to captivate people and fascinate people is, I mean, what could you even compare it to? You know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
You are not following OJ.
We have had an OJ discussion on this air before. I'm fine with talking about it. He's back on Twitter. He sounded like he ready to do a Hertz commercial. It's kind of the man's 71. He sounds fresh as hell.
Yeah,
like
but
you know what I'm saying? Like he's ready to start doing commercials. Like and John, I just have to wonder, man, with that civil suit against him and you know what we still feel like he owes, which is millions. How in the world is he on a golf course? You know what I'm saying, brother? Looking like he's living better than you and me.
Yeah. Now you're on a golf course. But definitely living better than me. And
you have new money.
And
you and you know, anyway. Yeah, don't need to go any further.
I just can't believe he said I got a little getting even to do. I can't believe
that was to juice up them followers.
You think that's what that was? He also just released a video, I think it was earlier today or it was yesterday. There are rumors out there that he is the father of Khloe Kardashian. Chris had an affair, with him. And he set the record straight. He said, I want to stress never in any way, shape, or form had I ever had any interest in Chris romantically, and I never got any indication that she had any interest in me. So all of these stories are just bogus and bad and tasteless. So if you're wondering, in 2019, would O.J. Simpson get on Twitter and release a video of him denying that he is the father of Khloe Kardashian? Unequivocally, yes, that happened. So I don't know where it goes from here. You would think, I don't know, if I'm O.J. Simpson and all of the evidence in this case points to me as the killer and I get off, would I not just try to stay out of the spotlight? Would I not just try to lead a low-key life where I'm just, out of the shadows and,
That's never been O.J., though.
It's not.
That's not his essence, his DNA. His DNA is that he's a man, he feels like a man of the people, right? A man that we all want to hear from and get behind like he was as a player. It's weird the way he works because, again, remember, John, when he was before this thing in Vegas, right, where he goes and does the robbery thing. It's his own stuff, so there was part of that stuff. But before that, you saw that he got crazy. Like, he's going out doing music videos. He got into the drugs and the drinking. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Remember when the first thing he said he's going to, find Nicole's killer?
Yep.
Go about, and that was going to be his life's work, what I'm saying, the mission? Man, please.
Now, do you judge people who follow him?
No, I'm not even going to. I try not to judge people. That's part of what they try to teach you. So I'm trying to do better on that. Do I judge folks still? Absolutely, I do. Something I'm working on. I'm not going to judge the folks that follow him. I think, John, they're watching for a lot of them are watching for the car wreck, right? It's sort of that, I guess that's part of the phenomenon with him, is that's all it's been ever since this whole thing came out, is he's just been a car wreck, and they're waiting to see the, it's how you can't pull yourself away, John.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? From that, you watch a car wreck, but you can't turn away from it.
Yes.
You want to see the impact. And
well, mostly just interested in what's next. You know what I mean? What's coming after all this?
Well, he's coming.
How off the rails is it about to get?
We had this conversation. He's coming to a bar near you soon, and you're gonna go sit down beside him and plop a beer down and say, OJ, let me buy you a drink.
I'm
not doing that.
I believe you when you say it because you obviously don't drink, A, and B, you're a man of principle when it comes to these matters. But I think 95% of the population, if they had a chance to sit down next to O.J. Simpson and there are no weapons around, they would they would have a drink with O.J. Simpson, period.
Well, I think his Twitter followers are an indication of that. I think your point there is valid.
652,000 people want to have a drink with O.J. Simpson, period, as long as there are no gloves or murder weapons around. Now, we'd have to drink out of, styrofoam cups, But I definitely would have a drink with O.J. Simpson, and I'm now following him. I'm following him on Twitter.
What would you ask him? You gonna have a drink, and how's that conversation gonna go?
I'm gonna ask him.
What you doing with
Did you do it?
You think y'all gonna finish that beer?
Yes, because I bought it. He's definitely gonna finish it. I'm just gonna ask
OJ. But he gonna bust you over the head with that styrofoam cup.
I'm gonna be like, OJ, be real, man. Did you really do it, bro? I'm between us, off the record. That's the question that you have to ask OJ. I'm just kidding, OJ.
You absolutely wouldn't do that.
I would probably say, man, what do you think about Antonio Brown with the Raiders, man? You think that's
That is exactly what you'd ask that fool. That is exactly what you'd do. You'd start talking about these damn Raiders.
Well, he's in Vegas. I say, hey, man, how excited are you about the Raiders coming to Vegas, man? We can have some common ground here.
Brad, you having a drink?
I ain't drinking with that guy.
All right.
Wow, really? Am I the minority on this show? I know.
No.
You were two. You were two for the chase.
Yes.
Right?
I was 2 years old for the chase.
Everybody remembers where they were.
What was going through your mind when you were in that Bronco trying to drive away from the cops, OJ?
What were you thinking
when
you were?
He wasn't the driver.
What was going through your head in the white Bronco?
He's going to kill himself, right? That was what he was contemplating.
That's what Al was saying he was going to do.
Yeah.
If I did it, I probably would want to as well.
Yeah. But he was acquitted of those charges.
Do you remember watching that from your crib?
I do. I remember it like it was yesterday, man. I was like, man, I hope they get him.
You were holding on to the bars of your crib?
Yeah.
Jason, where were you when you saw the verdict?
147 Stonewall, apartment number 5, sitting there watching with my parents. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
It was wild TV.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see stuff like that anymore. You know what I mean?
We didn't know if we were going to watch a death.
Right,
suicide.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's the same thing I'm talking about.
And it was
like you're
friggin'
trying,
OJ.
You cannot pull yourself away.
Nope.
It was friggin' OJ, who is now on Twitter, at the real OJ 32.
That's a
crazy story.
What if I told you when we got this show, Jason, that in 3 years, there's going to be something that happens. OJ is going to get on Twitter, and he's going to release videos, a series of videos, and one of them is going to be him denying that he is the father of Khloe Kardashian. Would you believe me?
Probably.
Okay. I would not have believed myself.
You can't ever rule anything out with that man.
I would not have believed myself. But anyway, there you go. It's amazing times we live in.
Next story.
LeVar Ball's put the curse on the Lakers. We have the audio. Brad, do you have it? Are we ready? Let's listen, because they just traded his son to the Pelicans.
Come on, audio. Where are you?
I say again, it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed.
I agree. Are they going to regret this trade?
They're going to regret it. I'm going to have fun with it. Because I told y'all it was crashing down. Now it completely crashed, but at least my son got off the boat before the thing exploded. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three Ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let them go, boy, it's going to be a cold day in hell. Trust and believe.
Now, I cannot believe that this still gets a headline over at ESPN.
Yeah,
like, I cannot believe that we are still listening to LeVar Ball, who says that if the Lakers had gone out and got his three sons, they'd be all right. But the fact that they've traded his son, Lonzo, who I think is a pretty good player and is going to end up being a better player than he is right now, that the Lakers are going to not win a championship because they've traded his. Give me a break. Like, I cannot believe that folks are still sticking a microphone in his face. We talked about this with the whole – you're almost doing your son a disservice. Forget yourself. And I think we've seen some of it. I think his son at this point has probably already even mentioned to him some of these things. Putting him on this pedestal like you've done has put a target on his back. There's no question about it, okay? The more he shut up, it seemed like the better off that Lonzo was in terms of he could go out and just be an NBA player, and we'll see what this guy does. I was done listening to LeVar Ball before this.
Right.
But if you still were, and after this, and again, he says it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they will never win another championship. Give me a break. Right now, they are the favorite to win next year's championship in what should be a wide-open NBA.
Yes.
LeVar Ball is something else.
Yeah, and there was
it's sad, really.
Yeah.
It's almost sad. Like, he still wants the attention, right? They made it on the first take today, John.
Yes, he did.
They made it back on the first take. Stephen A. still giving them the time of day.
Well, there is a larger conversation to be had, right, about media coverage in the situation. And you know, I'd like to think, though, like, I can't blame ESPN. I can't blame anybody that puts him on, because if LeVar Ball texted you right now and said, hey, I want to come on the show and I want to talk about my kid, you're going to say no? Of course, we're gonna say yes. You know, I mean, like anybody would.
I'd say no.
You'd say no.
I'd let you get it. Come on.
You'd say no.
Would you have Rod Hampton back on and talk about coming to Memphis?
Well, no, not now for sure.
That's the point. It's not now on the bar. Same thing, right?
Well, I'm just saying, like, because he has no, you know, Rod Hampton clearly, like, they did not come to Memphis, and they were never coming to Memphis. So that it's not like people, you know, whatever, but. With LeVar, we're a Memphis radio station. If he texted you right now and said, I want to come on and talk about my sons, you're going to say no? You're going to say yes.
I'll let you, Brad, have it.
Fine. Then you're still going to ask
him. That's a dead story is what I'm telling you. Why would we be taking it? We'd be continuing what we've sit up here and just said and made the point of what feels like dead news. Just this guy talking is dead news.
You know, the reason why people keep putting him on is because.
Like, you're killing your kids here.
You're going to get to a point where those
kids resent you.
Yes. Yes, I think that is true.
And that's I'm more worried about that than anything. Forget Lonzo's career, what happens to LeVar. My thing is dad's sons, these kids, if you keep going down this route, will resent you.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the Lakers regretting this trade forever. You will regret this forever if that's what it ends up coming to be.
Yeah. But anyway, there you go. LeVar Ball puts a curse on the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, when we come back, Ryan McDonough is going to join us. He's a Radio.com Sports Insider, former Phoenix Suns general manager. We will get his thoughts on the deal from an executive standpoint and the future for both franchises. That's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Smile Center is making a move, relocating to a new location and joining forces with Dr. Pat Clark's office. But don't worry, they're moving. They're not changing. You're still going to get the same friendly, outstanding dental care that you're accustomed to. And the Smile Center now going to be able to provide additional services such as sedation dentistry. The move is going to be made the first week of July. So from now until June 27th, you're still going to the current location. But starting July 8th, the Smile Center will be at 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101 in Germantown. Same days and hours, just a new and improved location at the corner of Germantown Road and Farmington, right next to MedPost. As you know, the Smile Center is headlined by Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi. He's my dentist, he's my wife's dentist, he's my children's dentist, and what makes this place, the Smile Center, great is the fact that the folks in the office take care of you and treat you like family. You never feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you need a dentist, look no further than the Smile Center, which is on the move. The new location at 1941 South Germantown Road opens July 8th. For more information, visit SmileCenterMemphis.com or just call them 901-309-1333.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Advance Financial will cash any check for any amount. Money orders, payroll checks, government checks, insurance checks, out-of-town checks, and those hard-to-cash checks. Advance Financial will cash your check when no one else will. We always say yes, and no check is too big. $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. Any check, any amount. Visit one of our 24/7 locations or online at af247.com to get the cash you need today. Advance Financial. Welcome.
Jason and John Guest appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's Sports Station 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Ryan McDonough. He's a radio.com sports insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. He joins us now. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Everything's good, John and Jason. I appreciate you guys having me on. And it's an exciting week in Memphis, and especially for the Grizzlies on Thursday night.
There's no question about that. Get to that in just a moment. But in terms of the weekend, is this just the summer of small markets in the NBA? I mean, that is not typically a haul that you see that a small market get back in return, especially when they're in many ways sort of bent over a barrel. What did you think of the weekend and the deal for the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think it's what most people in the league expected would happen eventually, guys, with Anthony Davis ending up in the Lakers. And the question was, would it be in the short term in a trade over the next year or so, or the next 7 or 8 months before the trade deadline in February, or in free agency next summer in 2020, would AD go to the Lakers as a free agent? And I think if the Lakers looked at the free agent market, and at this point, guys, as you know, you have a feel for who you might be in play for or not on the team side. They looked at the market and said, well, you know, Kevin Durant's out for the year. He's injured. You know, they probably weren't getting great feedback about Kyrie Irving or maybe Jimmy Butler, some of the other elite free agents. So they made the move they had to make by bringing in Anthony Davis. As you guys mentioned, they paid a lot. I thought it was a very good deal for New Orleans. You know, the Lakers obviously got the better of the deal in the short term with Anthony Davis being one of the top 5 or 10 players in the league. But long term, that deal could really pay off for the Pelicans. I'm a big fan of Lonzo Ball. They get the fourth pick in this year's draft as well. In addition to Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart, and those future firsts from the Lakers could really pay off. Because you guys remember what happened with the Brooklyn Nets-Boston Celtics deal in 2013 and how that ended up working out for Boston.
Yep.
So the Lakers put themselves in a little bit of a risky position by committing picks that far out.
Ryan, what do you do if you're the Lakers? How do you spend the rest of that money? Do you go out and try to get a Kimba? I don't know how likely that is. Like you said, it feels like Kyrie's an option that's off the table now. Or do you spend that money on depth? Do you spread it around? What would you do, Ryan?
I think I would chase a third star, and I think it has to be a backcourt player. And Kemba, of that grouping, Kemba Walker is probably the best fit, given his age and productivity. As you guys know, he basically carried the Charlotte Hornets over the past few years on his back. Now, the issue, guys, is financially, they're going to be short of Kemba's max number.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba would leave a lot of money on the table if Charlotte doesn't offer him a four-year max, or even he's eligible for the five-year supermax, which starts at about $38 million. The Lakers, I'm projecting expecting their cap space to be somewhere between $23.6 and $27.7 million. So Kemba would be leaving a lot of money on the table to go to L.A. And, you know, he's a guy who's been underpaid over the last 4 years. Kemba was only making about $12 million a year in Charlotte. He signed a rookie scale extension before he blew up. So he's a guy that, you know, as he gets closer to his 30s, I think will want to get as much money as possible. Yeah. But that won't stop the Lakers from trying to recruit him.
You know, you mentioned the sort of limits right on the salary cap that the Lakers have. There's been a narrative the last few months about people wanting to play with LeBron, people not wanting to play with LeBron. I mean, this is where we find out, right? This is the time we find out exactly how much pull LeBron still has, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And how much, if at all, are players willing to sacrifice to play with him? You know, so they'll be able to field out a team. But keep in mind, guys, it's not like they just need one guy. I mean, they sent out a lot of their depth in this trade. If you look at their roster now, it's basically just LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma. They have some young, unproven players like Mo Wagner and Isaac Bonga, who they got in the draft last year. But they need high-end talent, or a third high-end talent would be ideal, but they also need depth. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, I'm also aggressively going after guys whose market may be above a minimum contract, looking at players like Wayne Ellington or Garrett Temple, you guys had in Memphis, or looking at solid players and trying to convince them to sacrifice a little bit of money financially in order to play alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis and hopefully compete for championships in L.A.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that before. So given all of that, we've never seen Anthony Davis and LeBron play together. Obviously, Anthony Davis has had health problems in the past. They still have so much they have to do roster-wise. Does it surprise you that Vegas was so quick to crown them as the odds-on favorite for next season?
A little bit, but as you guys know, I don't think that the folks in Vegas who set the lines, and they seem to be very good at it from what I can tell, it doesn't seem like they necessarily do what they think's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They do what will stimulate the most action and the most money coming in. So I think moving the Lakers aggressively like that was probably due to a run of cash coming in on the Lakers. You guys know the national fan base or even international fan base and following the Lakers have. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Right now, guys, I think the Western Conference is wide open with the injuries to Golden State. The team that if I had to, you put a gun to my head and said pick one team who's the front runner at this point, this might surprise some people, but I'd actually go with Houston because I think the Rockets' only roadblock the past few years has been in Golden State. Now the Warriors are looking a little bit depleted, at least in the short term. So I think if, as of June 17th, I'd put Houston as the favorite in the West next year.
Ryan, I got to ask you, how many points, how much credit does Pelinka get from one former GM to watching what the situation with him? Like you said, many of us expected this deal was going to happen sooner or later. He did keep Kuzma. Does he get credit in this deal? A few weeks ago, we're all looking at him like, can he get the job done?
Yeah, Rob Pelinka should get some credit for this deal, guys. And there's the old adage that whichever team got the best player won the deal. And clearly the Lakers got the best player in this deal in Anthony Davis. Now, that being said, there is a lot of risk for the Lakers, as I mentioned. If you look at the pick protections, especially going into the future, the Pelicans get the number 4 pick this year, unless they trade it again before Thursday night, which is also a possibility. But the Pelicans get the Lakers' 2021 pick only if it's in the top 8. And if not, they get an unprotected pick in 2022. They also have an unprotected pick swap in 2023. An unprotected first in 2024 that they could defer to 2025. As you guys know, 2025 is a long time from now. That's 6 years from now. Yep. Will Anthony Davis still be in his prime and be healthy? I think there's a good chance that he is, but there's also a chance he gets injured or is playing somewhere else at that point. I think there's a very good chance that LeBron James is not the MVP candidate that we've all come to expect over the last 10 or 15 years. Wow. So I give Rob Pelinka credit. It's a star market in L.A. They have two of the top 10 players in the league. So like I said, short term, this is great for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Long term, it could look very different 3 or 4 years from now.
With you, Ryan. We are, of course, talking to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports Insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. It's hard to get a read on Kawhi Leonard, obviously, but he does have a decision to make this summer. Toronto, obviously, coming off an NBA title. What makes sense for him? Does it make sense for him to stay in Toronto? A lot of people have said the Clippers. When you sort of survey the options that he's going to have, Ryan, what to you makes the most sense?
What makes the most sense to me, guys, is staying in Toronto on a short-term deal. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you look at Toronto's salary cap sheets, they have a lot of players coming off the books after next season. Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, who you guys know better than anybody, if Mark opts into his contract at about $26 million. So if I were Kawhi and willing to bet on myself and, you know, we're pursuing championships as the most important thing on my list, I would sign what's called a 1+1 in the NBA. It's a two-year deal, but only the first year is guaranteed. The second year is a player option. So Kawhi could opt in or opt out a year from now and, you know, just run it back with the Raptors. And I think if I were Kawhi, that would be even more appealing, again, given the injuries to Golden State and how open the entire league looks at this point with Toronto as the defending champions.
What's the deal with – what would you say with Boston? I realize they've got – it's silly to almost try to criticize Ainge, right, because they've got so much. There's still a war chest there. But I feel like a little bit of their window's closed. Like maybe they should have been in the spot that Toronto was in this year. How would you grade the job Danny's done so far? He just hasn't pulled the trigger, right? I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
Well, keep in mind, guys, I'm very biased to Danny Ainge because I worked alongside him for 10 years, and we won a championship together in 2008. I think he's done a great job of gathering assets. They've had a few big hits at the top of the lottery with guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think the Kyrie situation is unfortunate. Coming into the year, I predicted them, along with most people, to be the favorite in the Eastern Conference and be playing the Warriors in the finals. And for whatever reason, the chemistry wasn't there, and I know – internally, they're disappointed in how Kyrie acted and some of his mood swings, and it seemed like he changed his mind a lot. You guys remember the now infamous line, especially now that it looks like he's walking out the door in free agency, that in the preseason he said, I'll come back, I'll stay if you guys will have me. And the crowd went nuts. It was at a Celtics season ticket holder event. And then I think it was by January or February, Kyrie saying, I don't really owe anybody bleep. Yep. So that was a pretty stunning change, I think, internally over the first 4 or 5 months of the season. So Danny's done a good job. They'll be good either way, guys, because of, again, the presence of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. I think they'll look to re-sign Al Horford. Horford has a player option. But I think as of now, it would be hard to say they're a championship contender unless something happens that's a little bit unforeseen, like Gordon Hayward returning to his all-star status as one of the best 15 or 20 players in the league.
Yeah. Ryan, as somebody who's been in charge of a front office, if you're the Knicks or the Nets or whoever, you know, Kevin Durant may ultimately consider when that situation comes up, if he even does enter into free agency, how do you navigate that situation? Like, what are the things that you have to consider? Does or should anything change with the injury? I'm just curious how you would even begin to sort of navigate that situation.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think with the Knicks in particular, guys, they're all in on KD, or they're all in on whoever the best free agents are that they can get, they're going to try to get. And I can't remember a team being this aggressive in one sector, and by that I mean just in free agency. You know, the Knicks with the trade they made with Dallas in season, sending Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks, a big part of that deal, as you guys know, was offloading some undesirable contracts and creating cap space for this summer's free agency. So they were able to do that. But, you know, now let's look at how things have changed over the next 4 or 5 months. Kevin Durant is injured, not for the year. Klay Thompson, who most people, including myself, predict will resign in Golden State, is injured and probably out for next year as well. Kyrie Irving looks like he's leaning toward Brooklyn. So the Knicks have a lot of eggs in this free agent basket, and so I think they'll still be super aggressive going at KD. If he has to sit a year, fine. As long as they get him on a 3 or 4 year deal, I think the Knicks would be okay on that, even if it means punting on next season if they'd have 2 or 3 healthy years from Kevin Durant at the back end of that contract.
Ryan, if I put you in the Grizz front office and you've obviously got the opportunity to draft Ja Morant with the number 2 pick, we all think that's what's going to happen. What would you be looking for in terms of framework of a deal for Mike Conley? Would you bring him back for a little while? Have him, because we heard some people say, "Well, I'd like him with Ja. Maybe you can teach him." How would you approach that situation?
You know, that's a really interesting question, guys, and I think it all depends on your ownership and their how patient they're willing to be and their risk tolerance. And what I mean by that is, if you trade Mike Conley, you have a very talented young player in Jaren Jackson, who, as you guys know, was the 4th pick in the draft last year, and we spent a lot of time on Jaren when I was general manager of the Phoenix Suns in contention for the number 1 pick. That's how we felt about Jaren Jackson. So I think he's a very talented young player. I think Ja Morant is the second best player in this draft,
okay,
and frankly, the only one I thought at least spent some time thinking about ahead of Zion Williamson at number 1. I ended up slotting Morant in 2, but I think he's a great building block for the Grizzlies. So I think if I'm Zach Kleiman or Rich Choe or Glenn Grunwald in the front office for Memphis, I'm going to Robert Pera and saying, look, you know, we can trade Mike. He's been the heart and soul of our franchise for a long time. He plays well on the court. He represents the franchise well off the court. But if we do that, it means we're not going to be very good for the next 2 or 3 years. But we think we could bring back a lot of young assets and talent. and have one of the better teams in the league, but that may not be until 2022 or 2023. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that, Mr. Purr? And, you know, I've been there, guys. I've seen owners say they are and then change their mind when the losses pile up. Mm-hmm. If not, I think the other option, guys, is to trade Conley for a package that's maybe is not favorable as far as draft compensation, but is favorable in terms of players that can help you win in the short term. And I'll give you an example, like what the Clippers did when they sent Blake Griffin to Detroit. They got some pick assets. They used one of those picks to take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but they also got Tobias Harris, and they did something similar with Chris Paul in the deal with Houston. So you kept the team competitive, let them rebuild on the fly without bottoming out, which is an interesting strategy and a good way to go if you can pull it off.
There is a report out there right now that the Grizzlies are intensifying talks to move Mike Conley this week, and it sounds like the Jazz are the front runners to acquire Mike in this scenario. Does that sound like a move that makes sense to you, Ryan?
It does, especially from the Jazz perspective. There were talks between those two teams around the trade deadline. I believe members of the front office in Utah felt they were close to a deal with Memphis. And, you know, if you look at Utah's roster, they have two young stars in Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Ricky Rubio, their point guard, is going to be a free agent. Now the question is, what is good enough in return for Memphis to send Mike Conley out? You know, the Jazz are a perennial playoff team in the Western Conference. Given the age and talent and health of Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, it looks like they'll be pretty good, if not very good, for a long time. So as I look at the rest of the roster, that's the tricky part for me. I understand for sure why the Jazz would want Mike Conley. I'm just not sure what Utah has, other than maybe a bunch of picks that'll probably be somewhere in the 20s that would satisfy Memphis in a deal like that.
This felt like a deal that made way more sense at the deadline as opposed to right now, because they have a lot of expiring contracts that obviously they won't be able to move during draft week. So it'll be interesting to see sort of what they do from here. You mentioned John Morant is the number two guy on your board. What do you see in John Morant?
I see a lot I like, guys. I see speed, explosiveness, creativity with the ball. I love his passing ability and passing flair. He's able to wrap left-handed hook passes to the corner and make some pretty high-level reads that I usually only see from veteran point guards in the NBA. He's good at getting to the free-throw line and making his free-throw attempts. He shot 81% this year from the line on over 8 free-throw attempts per game. So he's the number two prospect on my board. He plays what I consider the most important position in today's NBA at the point guard slot. He's got good size and athleticism. Now, he's not perfect. There'll be some growing pains along the way. He does turn the ball over a lot. I think he led the country with 5.2 turnovers a game, and keep in mind a lot of that was versus low and mid-major competition. When I broke down the film, I saw him also try to make the spectacular play when the simple one would have been more effective. But he's a big-time prospect. He plays a very important position, and that would be a great way for Memphis, if they do decide to move on from Mike Conley, to backfill with Ja, give him the ball from day one, let him and Jaren Jackson play through the mistakes and grow together, and hopefully whatever they bring back from Utah or another team, if they do send Conley out, we'll give him some more pieces to build around those two guys.
Ryan, we're with you 100% on Ja. How concerned would you be about the knee and the sort of the scope, that loose body? He's an investment, obviously, and Lord knows we're worried about knees around here in Memphis, Ryan. What, no concern at all, would you, if you were the guy taking him?
Well, keeping in mind, I haven't seen the medical or don't have a lot of information, sure, you know, beyond what you guys have. If it is just a scope where they're removing loose bodies and there's no structural damage, I would not be particularly concerned about it. But I would be talking to Jim Tanner, Ja's agent, who's very experienced for Tandem Sports, and asking to see as much medical information as I can, even seeing if Tanner and Morant would allow maybe Memphis's team doctors or mutually agreed upon doctor look at Morant's knee, give him an MRI, put him through some tests just to make sure it's sound and that they don't have any long-term concerns. But again, if it's just as reported, loose bodies with a scope, that's not that concerning. And in fact, it's something where, depending on what Memphis wants to do, I think he could potentially be ready for summer league. So I'm taking the long view with a 19-year-old kid who doesn't turn 20 until August and saying if the knee's going to be good for the next 10 or 15 years, even if he misses the summer, that's okay. We're looking at Ja Morant as a long-term investment.
No, there's no question about that. And then last thing, Ryan, the Grizzlies hired a coach last week, Taylor Jenkins. What is his reputation around the league? How familiar are you with him?
Yeah, I don't know Taylor that well, guys, but I do know Mike Budenholzer, one of Taylor's mentors, very well. In fact, when we had a coaching search in Phoenix last year in 2018 when I was general manager of the Suns. We spent a lot of time with Mike Budenholzer, and at one point I thought we were close to hiring him as the head coach of the Suns. He obviously ended up in Milwaukee and has done great things there. But one of the things that came up in our conversations with Budenholzer was how valuable he thought Taylor Jenkins was. Mm-hmm. And those guys worked together in San Antonio in the Spurs organization. He brought Taylor to Atlanta. Basically, Taylor did everything, according to Bud. He was kind of his chief of staff and could do a little bit of, you know, offensive development, defensive drills, schemes, you know, player development plans. He seems like a very well-rounded young coach. I like the fact that he's been a head coach in the G League in the Austin Spurs in San Antonio's organization. So I've heard great things about Taylor Jenkins. He's a worker. He's a grinder. And I think, you know, for a young team that looks like they're going to be rebuilding, having a young executive like Zach Kleiman and a young coach like Taylor Jenkins, and more importantly, two young studs like John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. to build around, I think gives Memphis a bright future, although, as you guys know, especially in the Western Conference, the short term might be a little bit painful because the league, especially the West, is pretty unforgiving.
There's no question about that. Ryan, man, this was great.
Wonderful,
appreciate
man.
The breakdown
Thank
and the
you.
Insight, as always, man. Thank you.
Yeah, John and Jason, appreciate you guys having me on.
Great
yes,
stuff.
He awesome. Is Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports Insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. I thought he brought up a lot of great points, especially, you know, you can say you're embracing a rebuild. You can say that, you know, you're going young, but then the losses pile up.
Right.
And then we know how this front office can be. You know, they can be weather vanes, right? Like mm-hmm. Robert Parrott can change his mind on a dime, mm-hmm. you know. So you would really just have to commit all the way full bore, right, to that stretch because it's coming, right, whether you like it or not. But interesting stuff there from Ryan McDonough for sure. We got some news on Mike Conley. We'll get to that when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 presents the official Jason and John Memphis Draft Party on Thursday night, June 20th, from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Join 92.9's Jason and John and watch the NBA Draft at our Draft Party at The Bluff on Highland with Grizzly Bear Blues, SB Nation, and Joe Mullinax, along with I Love Memphis's Holly Whitfield. The 2019 NBA Draft Party at The Bluff on Highland on Thursday night, June 20th, with 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis' sports station.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Here I go. Bundling home and auto with Progressive can save you money on your car insurance. No kidding. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I added that last part in. You can edit that out, right? Or you can keep it in if you like. I mean, my opinion is I think it's good. I think other people my age would like it. Very relatable. I mean,
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The Casual Pint, they're over at 395 South Highland. It's the craft beer place in Memphis. Locally owned and operated right here from Memphis. And we can certainly all get behind that. I promise you, you're going to love the place too. 28 beer taps, 2 8-foot tall refrigerated coolers of cans. They've got your favorite bottled beer, and you can go beer. You can go beer to go as well. It's a really cool feature. You can do it with growler fills. We can mix a six-pack out of the cooler, packaged off the dry shelf. They take their beer seriously over at the Casual Pint, so seriously. They don't have bartenders. They've got beer tenders. You're going to get to know and love them all, Lisa, Jeff, Mel, David, Amber. It's a great crew, and the atmosphere is great. Nice and open air with that atmosphere. They've got the dog patio out to the side, so you'll love that. And like I said, they've always got something going on. They've got the wine and sangria flowing, too. If you're not feeling, if it's not a beer night for you, maybe it's a wine night for you. Head on over to the Casual Pint at 395 South Highland. The Casual Pint, where beer lovers meet.
The annual summer sale at James Davis has started. If you're not taking advantage of it, you're making a shopping mistake. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. It's one of the best clothing stores in the United States of America. It's where I get my suits and my dress shirts for television work with CBS Sports. But understand this. They have so much more than just nice suits and dress shirts. For instance, right now, shorts, short sleeve knit shirts, and sports shirts are 20% off. There's a summer selection of sport coats, suits, and blazers, all 25% off. And don't forget about the custom-made stance shirts. Those are the ones I buy because dress shirts off the rack are a thing of the past. Now, let me explain how this works. What you do is you go to James Davis. You walk in, you get three measurements, and in just 10 minutes, you're going to have a custom-made shirt ordered. It'll be ready in a matter of days. They start at only $98. It's a perfect shirt that'll fit you brilliantly, and it makes for a perfect gift for any man's birthday. In fact, you can get a gift card to cover it. So where are you shopping to make sure you're good to go in these warm months that are finally here? James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Not a big summer guy. Too hot. Not a big winter guy either. Too cold. My favorite season? Safety season. Because it's every season, 24/7, 365. For all things safety, I trust Grainger. Grainger's safety experts have the safety solutions and expertise to help keep your facility safe and your people safer all year long. Seasons may change, but Grainger's always got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by for all things safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Live Love Memphis group, that's who Lewis went with. Lewis was on the fence about whether to sell his house or not. Ultimately, he decided to do it. Said, you know what, I think it's time to get out of this house, get into a new one, sell mine. So he got with the Live Love Memphis team. They listed it on a Monday, turned around and got it sold by a Tuesday. That is the magic that the Live Love Memphis team can work for you.
They can work that magic. They did it for me. They did it for Lewis. Man, I'm glad Lewis listened to it. He heard my story about getting a home sold. I never thought we'd be able to sell. I handed it over to the folks at Live Love. They got it done in 6 days. Lewis heard my story. He believed in us. He, more importantly, believed in the Live Love Memphis group. You should, too. Check them out for yourself over at livelovememphis.com. If you're ready to call like Lewis, like myself, get a pen, get a piece of paper. It's 901-685-6000. Again, that number, 685-6000. The person I asked for is Jennifer Carstensen. She's got a wonderful team. She's the leader of that team, and she will get that home sold quickly for you. Get with the right group. It's the Live Love Memphis group over at livelovememphis.com.
All right, so the report is from Sham Sharania, who says the following. The Grizzlies are intensifying talks to potentially move franchise cornerstone Mike Conley Jr. Memphis has been in conversations with the Jazz, and Utah is a front runner to acquire Conley should the Grizzlies trade the point guard during draft week, league sources said. Now, this should not come as a surprise, at least the basis of the story, right, which is Mike Conley being dealt. This should not come as a surprise to anybody because the Grizzlies are about to draft Ja Morant at number two. Ja Morant is a point guard. Mike Conley is a point guard. There is no point in Ja Morant learning from Mike Conley. The only thing that makes sense is him getting the ball from day one and developing as quickly and as much as he possibly can.
And developing a relationship with whatever pieces, if you can, the players that you get back for Mike.
Yeah, because it's not like the Grizzlies
that's
are contending.
That's your future. Right.
You know, it's not like a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation where Aaron Rodgers comes in and sits for 3 years behind Brett Favre because the Packers are awesome. That's not what we're dealing with here. You know, you need to empower this young man. You need to give him the ball early and often and let him develop so that in 3 years, right, you can have the best big man point guard tandem in the NBA. 3, 4 years, 5, 6 years, whatever the time.
He said his window was one and it was next five.
Yeah, so Schmitz. That is what you want to do. Now.
Yeah, and when you follow what Atlanta did with Trey.
Exactly.
What Sacramento did with the Aaron.
And here's
Ja's
the deal.
Ready for that.
You know, these people in Memphis need a you know, they need a new sort of hero, right? And Jaren is a good piece, but Jaren is never going to, you know, Jaren is never going to be the leading scorer on your team. Like, that's just not who he is. Like, I think he's more of a defensive stalwart. Like, he's going to be a good player with a long NBA career, but he's, you know, he's not going to be your number one option ever. Ja can be, you know, and so I think it behooves the Grizzlies to, like I said, empower him as early and as often as they possibly can. So that's why Mike Conley being traded this week makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Now, what doesn't make a lot of sense to me is the Jazz as a trade partner because they made sense at the deadline because they had the expiring contract, for example, of Ricky Rubio.
Right. Meant they're pulling the Ryan.
You know,
those expirings are gone.
But maybe, you know, maybe obviously Derek Favors you would think would have to be
a part of it.
Yeah, because
the money.
He makes $16.9 million and it's guaranteed after July 6th.
So he would have to be a part of this deal. And then, you know, do they throw Dante Exum in there, you know, with a first-round pick? I mean, that, you know, is that – but remember, they were previously sort of – they didn't want to throw Dante Exum in there the first time. And then does it even make sense for the Grizzlies to take back Dante Exum when they have DeLon Wright and they're drafting John Morant? So it would obviously have to look a little bit different.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm having a hard time getting to it.
I don't know, the Exum thing's out the door. You've got a point guard now.
Right.
That was, you know, there was that. Is it not smarter for the Grizzlies, we've talked about this with Marks, with Bobby Marks, to wait until these teams strike out in free agency?
Yeah.
You know, rather than to do this now? I don't mind the intensity of talking, do the work now, get the word out, intensify the talks, all that. But John, don't you wait until you see who gets desperate in terms of teams missing out on their free agent targets, and then the value goes up a little bit higher? I mean, take Anthony Davis off the board now in terms of tradable assets, right? He's been traded. I don't know how many more guys. I mean, you know, Chris Paul now is on the block, we hear. It's going to be tough with that contract. Somebody's going to probably end up taking him if he forces his way out. But Mike's right there at the top of the list is my point. And so don't you wait a little? Don't you wait through the draft? Don't you? At least with Bobby, his approach was maybe you even take it to the season. I don't know if I'm willing to wait that long.
Yeah.
Because, John, I love the idea of giving it to Ja right away. But don't you wait until free agency? Don't you hold off a little bit to see if you can up that?
I will say this.
Up that ante on what you get back?
The Jazz have, let me be unequivocally clear about this.
Anything you really want on there?
The Jazz have nothing that I'm interested in because, I mean.
That young player was important to me.
Exactly. Derek Favors is not a young player.
No.
And you don't even need what do you need Derek Favors for? You know, Derek Favors is going to be 28 years old. You've got Jaren Jackson. You've got Jonas Valanciunas.
Well,
you know,
yeah, we got Jonas for now.
Well, he's on the retainer.
Yeah, I know. You think there's no way you opt out without him having a plan. I realize that. If the money gets, or the years, more importantly, get too crazy with him, you know.
I have no
Anyway, I'm with you that I'm
and
including
even the picks,
him right now.
Like, the Jazz are good.
I know.
The Jazz are a playoff team.
I know.
I don't need picks from them.
That's what I'm telling you. You don't have to do this right now. You're scaring me. That's what I'm saying. You wait up a little bit. Maybe this haul is going to get better.
I mean, the young players that you're talking about, I mean, when I say young, I mean like third or fourth year at worst in the league, right? Grayson Allen, Dante Exum.
No, bro.
Like, those are your young players on the Utah Jazz.
The situation has changed because of Lady Luck and getting the number two pick. That position now is settled for me, and Dante Exum is nothing other. If he's a point guard, nothing else.
This would make sense. This would make sense if the Grizzlies had not gotten the number two pick and we're not about to draft the point guard, right?
Like, I'd still be considering. Yes. I don't know about if it still makes it. I don't know if I'd still be fully. Remember, I was all the way in then. Remember that on Exum. I liked him. Now the situation is different. Thank God it's different.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about Exum's injury history.
Yeah, the Jazz just don't have anything
appealing
to me. Having
hope in a guy that's, you know, not been able to stay on the floor. I do like him, though.
They just don't have anything appealing for you know, because
I don't need him anymore.
Sort of what you said for Mike Conley, the framework of a deal that everybody we've talked to about Mike Conley, the widely accepted framework is good young player, draft pick. Like, okay.
Wait till free agency.
Okay, you can get us a first round pick. It won't be a good one, but you'll get us a first round pick. But where's a good young player as a part of this?
Well, see, now, back in my mind's eye, I'd even had dreams of trading Mike to the Lakers to get some of those young players. Now, that's out the door now, it feels like, because their assets are out the door.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's in terms of that happening, Lakers striking out on their free agent targets. Remember, we kind of talked about that hypothetical scenario.
Yeah.
And maybe Mike ends up out there. Well, their assets are gone now. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we said, basically, it's AD, it's LeBron, it's Kyle Kuzma right now. They have no assets. So it ain't going to be the Lakers. Doesn't look like, but I want more than what Utah would have to offer right now.
Yeah.
To me, that tells me wait until free agency, wait until some teams strike out.
Like I'm going based on just the numbers here. The deal that would make sense, the only deal that would really make sense, because I don't think they're going to trade Joe Ingles. I think they like Joe Ingles.
Don't make the desire to put Conley in a better place, right, where he can compete, bigger than the desire to get back big. That's the priority here. I understand that goes without saying. You just want to make that clear.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
The deal that I guess from the Jazz's perspective that they would offer would be something like Derek Favors, Jay Crowder, Grayson Allen, and like a pick, like a first round pick, like that.
See,
to me,
see, here's
would,
the deal. Here's why they.
Sense.
Here's why
from their perspective, here's, not from the Grizzlies.
I don't like that deal. But here's
what's
why.
What's the best
here's
part
why,
of that deal?
Here's why if I'm that I think they could talk because it'd be. They've talked themselves into compete now.
Stop.
They would talk themselves back into compete now, John, because with Jay Crowder and those pieces. Don't do it.
They would be better.
Of course.
Derek Favors and Jay Crowder, like that would
be. I'm telling you, you'll be decently competitive with Ja and Jaren to go with that. But don't see, it's that idea that that's the future, John, rather than what we've all talked about, a vision that you know is going to get a little, you know, it's going to have some downtime.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm just saying that.
You don't do that.
Right now.
You don't do that. But that's what they've done around. That's what that owner has done. That's what this owner has done.
Yeah, but I mean, it could not be clearer that in this new West.
I always say with Ryan, you got to.
Like, you are not.
You can't be wishy washy on this. All of a sudden, the law. No, I want to. I think I can be competitive.
Just passed you.
Right.
And you're not passing them with that trade.
You got to start stockpiling young players and picks.
That's where I'm at with it. Is that really the best we can do?
And in the meantime, while you're doing that, you're going to have some fun watching Ja to Jaren and watching those guys develop. That's what this is going to amount to. And you need to stick on that plan. Stick to that plan and not this all of a sudden. Now, look with these two guys, Jaren and Ja, we can be competitive if we just put some veterans around.
Now, with Derek Favors, obviously his contract – would be up after next season, and that frees up $17 million of cap space. So that's, you know, that is something that you have to take into consideration as well. But again, I was thinking like a dynamic young player, like an asset. What the Grizzlies need, they need assets. Now, again, Derek Favors could be an asset at the trade deadline next season if you want to project that far ahead. Like, he could end up becoming an asset in a much different way. But I mean, Grayson Allen is just not, you know, in a mid-20s first-round pick like that, I'm sorry, brother. That does not get my blood flowing.
If you feel like the offers could get potentially better around free agency, you don't do this deal right now.
Yes.
You don't do this deal right now. Now, if you feel like, you know, it's going to be relatively flat in terms of the mark and what you're going to get back, you know, again, you better feel awfully good about that. I would wait.
Yeah.
I'd be patient.
But anyway, that's the latest from Shams Charania, that the Jazz have apparently emerged as the front runner to trade for Mike Conley. I'm ready to say no deal. I say no deal.
It'd be a great deal for Mike. But I'm not doing deals just for Mike at this point.
Oh,
right?
It's great for Mike. Like, Mike would actually have a chance to contend. Well, not contend, but compete. He'd have a chance to compete in Utah. And maybe they do sort of the Rockets. I know Ryan was high on the Rockets, but I don't know if you saw that story from ESPN today. They're kind of a mess.
Kind of a mess.
Yeah.
It's who's going to.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never before told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.